You're back listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR. And we have our next guest on the program, writer and artist Nathan Bell from Mullumbimba, or Newcastle, to speak about his new book, 1 Minute to Midnight. Welcome to the show, Nathan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, good to have you back on. So, Nathan, we spoke to you a couple of years back about your book, Kings of the New Age. And Kings of the New Age also dealt with the subject matter of your more recent book, 1 Minute to Midnight, which is nuclear war. Can you comment on, or can you give us a bit of an overview of 1 Minute to Midnight and talk about how it relates to your previous book?
Well, with 1 Minute to Midnight, I wanted to capture what it would be like in the moments that that war broke out, and the fear that an individual and the community would feel as that that shock of that revelation that the nuclear war was actually occurring. So it follows a man in Newcastle as the war breaks out, and he flees Newcastle to be with his family, and it follows him fleeing back to the Maitland area to be with his family. Then it follows the family sitting around, basically waiting, unfortunately, to die from radioactive fallout. And it's a really tragic story. There's certainly nothing nice about it. But yeah, I think that's the terror that we would experience in those moments if it actually came to that war happening. It does relate to Kings of the New Age in that it's a statement about nuclear weapons and the dangers of nuclear war. But of course, Kings of the New Age has highly mythical, magical themes. And there is, in Kings of the New Age, there is this magical remedy to heal the world from radiation poisoning. But in 1 Minute to Midnight, there isn't any of that. There's just the grim reality of the devastation that that war would wreak on the planet.
Yeah, I found this a very interesting dynamic. And part of the way that I became interested in politics sort of nearly 25 years ago is I became interested in conspiracy stuff and the Illuminati, and I was starting to get kind of red-pilled. And then I eventually was able to move away from that into more sort of left-wing politics. And I find the combination of your two books is very interesting in this regard, because Kings of the New Age, I think, is well suited to people who are grasping for an explanation of what's going on in the world. They're scared by some of what's happening in the world, and by being mystical, it's a bit more disarming and it welcomes people from kind of different headspaces. But then with your second book, 1 Minute to Midnight, you kind of, it's almost like an off-ramp, and you take people into this more sort of serious thing and be like, but seriously though, if we have a nuclear war, it's going to be really bad, and there's not going to be any magical way to fix the problem.
That's exactly right. There's no magical solution in 1 Minute to Midnight. It's just the grim, serious reality that if a nuclear war happens, a large-scale nuclear war, probably a large portion of the planet's population will die, and it will be absolutely terrifying. And that's just the reality of it, and that's what the book confronts, rather than the magical themes that are present in Kings of the New Age.
One of the aspects of your 1 Minute to Midnight is I think you've got quite this compelling portrayal of the sort of chaos. And so in the book, the conflict around Ukraine and sort of in the Middle East, it all sort of escalates and ends up in a nuclear conflagration. And one of the things that you describe is we sort of got a glimpse of this in the pandemic with the people fighting over groceries and toilet paper in the shops. One of the parts of your book, I think, is this really disturbing and compelling picture of people really freaking out and getting in their cars and trying to flee the cities as this war takes place. Can you talk a bit about that?
Well, I think obviously people would panic. because most people are very mentally unprepared for this sort of situation, because I think unfortunately a lot of people sort of drift through life without much awareness of these sorts of realities of global conflict. You know, we live in a very comfortable part of the world in the West where we're not confronted every day with war, and we're not confronted with these grim realities of the world. And so people don't know how to handle it when these things do come up. So I think if it actually did come to that, you would see a chaos break out in the community, and people would panic, and there would be riots, and there would be a lot of people with the mentality of what does it matter anymore? We might as well just suppose go mental. And trying to get to family and trying to gather supplies. Because I think it, as I said, it's a big part of the comfort we live in the West, where we're not confronted with warfare and devastation on a regular basis, so people don't know how to respond in a calm way.
Nathan, Chloe here. I read your book and I enjoyed reading it, even though it is a grim story. And thanks for sending it to us. We've got it here in the studio with us, and it does give us a real insight into your everyday life, and the people in it, and how everything can just change with a catastrophe caused by the mass detonation of nuclear weapons, and this leading to widespread destruction, and the anticipation of, you know, the bombs coming for us, and I think it was good that you mentioned radiation and the long-term, the societal collapse around that and the environmental destruction. Because you do talk about losing loved ones to radiation poisoning. I think that's important because it's not just about bombs one day. You probably know about the history of nuclear testing, and particularly in the Pacific, and the campaigns to stop that, because there's been so many, or millions of cancer deaths that are related to the radiation that's been due to nuclear testing. So, yeah, I thought that was really interesting, and, I like how it sort of, well, yeah, it was good how you sort of took us through your journey of sort of having to come to terms with the end of your life and every end life as we know it.
Well, that's what the whole point of the story was to give you the perspective of an individual who one minute is in the middle of their everyday normal life, and then the next minute is thrust into this situation of absolute madness, and then within a few days is faced with the reality that they are about to die. It was meant to be the perspective of an individual experiencing those moments and reflecting on that reality, which is why the book is written as a letter penned by a man reflecting on those things for anyone who survives to find that letter and to read it and to know what that experience was like.
Yeah, and you also referred to the military air base, which is near Newcastle where you live, which was also good because it does link Australia's role in the military industrial complex. And I thought that was important to sort of, yeah, not trying to give the whole story away, but, you know, there was fear that the people in the town were talking about, well, they're gonna come and bomb the, you know, we've got a military base here and now we're a target because of that.
Well, that's right. The RAF base makes us an obvious target, which is concerning because it means the whole area could be wiped out. I'd certainly prefer there not be a base there to draw attention to our area. Absolutely.
I feel like part of the role of this work is to really use art to try and spark the imagination of people who haven't otherwise thought about the seriousness of nuclear war. Can you, kind of comment on that a bit?
Yeah, well, that's what a lot of what I do is about. Now, I've been producing content themed around nuclear war for many years. I had a band, Hadron C, in my 20s, and I released a music video called Apocalyptic Nightmare, which followed a man fleeing a city during a nuclear war. I also released numerous other anti-war songs under the name Hadron C. I've got clothing designs that deal with nuclear weapons and deproliferation. I absolutely intend to use art to get people thinking, particularly people who aren't already thinking about those things, and to spark their imagination and to get them engaged in politics. And that's what I try to do with the majority of the art that I produce. For me, art is a tool to get people thinking and to engage people in the issues. I do also produce some pop content, which has nothing to do with politics, but majority of my work is political or make some sort of social statement to engage people.
And how do you think we can, what does it look like for the 99% to push to establish a world where nuclear weapons are banned? And how do we make that happen? It's obviously a big question. I don't know. But I'm sure you've reflected on this.
Well, all we can do is keep advocating and keep lobbying and form groups and associations that pressure government, because really our only power is to pressure government. But honestly, I've become a bit cynical in my old age because I see that governments repeatedly ignore their populations, and it scares me because I worry that we're not going to be able to get to that point where we can pressure the government to get rid of the nuclear weapons. You know, we've just seen in Trump's first presidency that he stepped away from some of the treaties that were important for limiting the missiles used with nuclear warheads. So it seems to keep going back and forth. And some way it seems we're coming into a new Cold War era. But we can only keep advocating and keep pushing government with our pressure groups.
Yes, and one of those pressure groups is the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons. And am I right, did you send a copy of your book to them?
I did, and a gentleman there got back to me and said he was very impressed with it and he thoroughly enjoyed it, so that was very good.
Yeah, nice. And what's next in your... Are you working on any new books at the moment?
Well, I've got 5 published short stories now. I've got around 4 other short stories which I'll be publishing over the next year. And I've written a second novel which I'm trying to get a traditional publisher for rather than self-publishing. Plus, I've always got music in production, and always many other things that I'm doing around media. So I'm always creating new content, so keep a lookout.
Nathan, where can people get a hold of your books? Or how can people get copies?
They can be ordered on Amazon, so it's print on demand. If you place an order, Amazon will post it out to you.
Yeah, nice. And look, if there's anyone listening who's interested in getting into self-publishing, what's your overview of that? How have you found that?
I found it very effective. The Amazon service has worked really well for me. The only thing I would say about self-publishing is I've worked for about 4 years to sell about 3,000 books, and I've had to be very proactive about getting out in the community and selling my books to people. So self-publishing is a lot of hard work. I say it can work out well, and I've built a good audience for my content. But I would honestly say, after the work I've done, if you can get a traditional publisher who will publish your work and take that workload for you, I would recommend doing it that way.
Yeah, nice. All right. Well, definitely check out 1 Minute to Midnight. And what are your other... there's 1 Minute to Midnight, Kings of the New Age. You've said you've got 5 books. What are the other 3?
I've got Saturday Night on Beaumont Street. I've got The Wizard and the Eye Man. I've got Shamanic Journey. And I've got The Wizard Spell. So there's actually 6 books now, 5 short stories and Kings of the New Age.
Yeah, rock and roll. All right. Well,
thanks, yes. Nathan, for joining us on the program this morning. And if listeners would like to know more hear more from Nathan, you can check out the YouTube channel Nathan Bell and the Revolutionaries and read his new book, 1 Minute to Midnight. And any last comments before we let you go, Nathan?
No, let's just work towards a world of peace and love.
Word.
Oh. Thank you, Nathan. And you've requested a song. Sorry, Zane.
Yes, yes, yes. We're going to play a song with one of your musical collaborators over the years, the one and only Ezekiel Ox.
Thanks, guys.
Word. All right. Catch you next time. Cheers, Nathan.
See you, guys. Have a great day.
See you, Nathan.